The Scouted podcast is brought to you with the support of our friends at Skill Corner, whose tracking data and performance analytics are used by many of the top clubs, leagues, and federations around the world. Covering a wide range of global competitions, Skill Corner's data helps customers to make faster, better informed decisions in recruitment, player development, and strategy. And we are now using it to support our own analysis of up and coming talent. For more information, visit skillcorner.com. Hello, welcome back to the Scouted podcast with me, your host, Joe Donoghue. I'm joined again by Stephen Ganawis, Scouted analyst extraordinaire, UEFA Youth League connoisseur, and most recently, UEFA Under 17 Euros expert. Steve, Lou, and occasionally myself, I might add, were keen watchers of the 2024 Under 17 Euros this summer, which it has to be said was one of the most entertaining youth international tournaments that I can recall in recent years, full of goals, new standout names, and top performances from individuals who I'm sure we'll be seeing have breakout seasons in 2024-25 and beyond. As always at Scouted, we cover these tournaments in depth, unlike any other outlet. And if you'd like to read more about the best up-and-coming players, do head on over to thescoutednotebook.com and get yourself subscribed so you don't miss a beat. Anyway then, Steve, the Under 17 Euros won quite comprehensively in the end by Italy. You've not exactly hidden your enthusiasm at that fact since the tournament finished last week. How would you sum up this year's edition of the competition?
Yeah, super fun. I think I said this, might have said this to you, that every year we seem to come back to this tournament and the players seem more and more prepared to play really high level, high intensity football. So I think that says a lot about the development standards that continue to improve year on year. And you're getting these guys now that are 16, 17. And we're kind of seeing it, the flow and effects of this with, you know, the guys we've seen come in and play senior football throughout this year, like Lamine Yamal, Paco Bassi, et cetera. Yeah, there's probably a couple more of those kind of guys that have come through in this tournament as well. So you can see the preparedness to play at this level. Much less, cramping and stoppages, especially compared to what we saw at the Under 17 World Cup last year, although those conditions were a bit more difficult, although these conditions weren't exactly simple for players to play in, especially, you know, two-day turnarounds, lots of games in a very short space of time with small squads as well. So, just super impressed with the standard. And then obviously to see Italy come away and notch up another European championship at youth level is really exciting to see.
Yeah, lots of interesting players in that Italian team. Just off the bat, you know, Francesco Camada, Matteo Liberali, Christian Cama, Federico Coletta, all names that I'm sure we'll be seeing at a decent level over the coming years. And certainly I expect some Serie B loans over the next 18, 24 months, I'd imagine. But I mean, it's probably right that we begin with the winners of this year's competition. And Steve, considering that you are wearing possibly one of the hardest fits that we've ever had on the Scouted podcast with the Azzurri overshirt or track jacket, whatever you want to call it. Italy won the final 3-0 against Portugal, a very accomplished Portugal side, it must be said. What did you make of the final? Because it was pretty much a foregone conclusion by around half time, wasn't it?
Yeah, Italy were just kind of in complete control for the whole game, just about. I feel like Portugal were a decent team, but they were very reliant on Rodrigo Moura to kind of be the instigator of everything. I think they had some quality around the edges, but it all needed Moura as the nucleus to kind of drive everything forward and create everything and be the guy with composure. Not only was he the main facilitator in the team, he's also the top scorer. So when that kind of didn't get going early and Italy were playing with quite strong intensity, getting out on the counter, then it all kind of fell into place. And with a weapon like Francesco Camarda up front, and, you know, we talk about guys breaking into senior level, he's actually already made his debut for AC Milan this season. So obviously that tells you all you need to really know about the quality that we're talking about. And then he kind of got out on the run. He scored one of the best solo goals of the tournament, kind of running it down the left channel, leaving a few defenders in his wake and with a really clean finish as well at the near post. So he kind of got the ball rolling. And then at kind of 2-0, it was basically just cruise control, you know, keep control of the ball, control the game, and Italy saw it out. But yeah, so much quality all over the field for Italy. I think the more that I'm starting to see these Italian age groups come through, just continue to see all these really dynamic interior midfield and number 10 types, guys that can, you know, play a variety of roles from, you know, 8 to 10 and in between. Someone like Federico Coletta, really aggressive, dynamic, box attacking number 8 that came up with a few crucial goals on the run during the tournament. You touched on Liberali, who plays at Milan with Camarda, and you can kind of see the chemistry that they've formed during their time at the youth academy in Milan, because they kind of just really fed off each other super well. I think in the first game, Camarda didn't play. He was suspended. And Liberali kind of had to play as almost a false 9. And just the dynamic wasn't quite there. And then as soon as Camarda came into the team, you could see him look much more comfortable having a focal point to work off. And then some of the things that he was able to do, scored a super goal against England, a really important goal where he somehow managed to keep possession of the ball in all sorts of traffic. He's just one of those guys that not only has got good control, but when he is tackled or tackled multiple times, he always just kind of seems to get the lucky ricochet, or it bounces off him, or he just gets the lucky break and manages to turn that into a really good action. And in that instance, it was a goal that ended up taking the game to a penalty shootout that Italy prevailed in what was the toughest test of their tournament by quite a stretch. But yeah, just quality all over the field. We've already seen one transfer that it looks like happening of their centre-back, Andrea Natali, who is leaving Barcelona by all accounts to join Xabi Alonso's Bayer Leverkusen. Yeah, you touched on Christian Kama at left-back, one of the proper cannonball, dynamic, up and down, attack the byline, but also kind of have the quality to invert a little bit, hit those early crosses. He hit one to Coletta in the final for a really good headed goal to open the scoring. So yeah, lots of quality all over the place in this team. I think they're a team that they weren't necessarily big or strong, which kind of sometimes those teams can roll through these tournaments. So they're just athletically on a different level. But they had a real intensity and punchiness about them. Lots of like really strong runners, lots of quick players. So although they didn't have maybe the size and physical domination outside of maybe Camarda up front, they had all these little, you know, little bunnies running around and filling up spaces and getting out on the break and doing all these funky little things in transition that they were able to then capitalize on and go on a big run. So really exciting team. I think there's lots of potential first teamers in there. Obviously you need to wait and see how these guys develop, especially athletically and you know, how they grow. But yeah, heaps of technical quality, which is what you're really looking for at these tournaments before you can get a gauge on where these guys are going to get to athletically at their peak level.
Yeah, I mean, I just want to touch on Camarda just a little bit more, because he was nominated UEFA's player of the tournament. Not scouted player of the tournament, but he came very, very close. Scored 4 goals, including the 2 in the final against Portugal. And, you know, you were talking about physicality there and how this Italy team maybe wasn't as you know, physical or you know, striking to look at compared to, you know, the Serbian team, for example. But Camarda in particular is. I mean, he's already at least 6 foot tall, only recently turned 16, as you know, it became the youngest player in Serie A history when he made his debut for AC Milan as a 15-year-old last season. And it's something about his style, you know, he can maybe come across a little bit clunky at times, but the final action is always, or at least from what I saw during the tournament, it seemed to be very, very refined for a player of his age, and also has, you know, the tendency to drift out to the left hand side, which was the area that he scored that fantastic solo goal from against Portugal in the final. You know, what did you make of Camarda?
Yeah, I think just to start off with, the athletic package is basically what every top team is looking for in a number nine at the moment. Tall, not like super powerful necessarily yet, obviously because he's 16 years old, but he's got a proper step and he's just got, he can just do so many like things that you just go, wow, should a 16-year-old number nine be able to do that? And I think what you touched on, his ability to involve himself in the game by drifting left, I think was really, really important just to get some easy touches of the ball, provide a wide outlet. He was almost like playing Martinelli role at times. He just funnel out to the left, involve himself in the play, drive the play up the pitch as well, because he can carry, he can dribble. And that from then on, everything kind of unlocks. And when he is able to then get the ball a bit closer to the penalty area, guy is one of the best finishers that you'll see at this level. Like, he can pull anything out. We saw it in the UEFA Youth League this year as well. He was scoring bicycle kicks. He was scoring everything in this tournament. I think he scored this one cross-keeper left-footed volley that was just out of this world. So he just can do bits of everything and a lot of it at a really, really high level. So that kind of gives you a baseline where he's not going to be, you know, completely boxed out of games for 90 minutes, because if he's not getting the ball in the middle of the pitch and he's not, you know, competing well enough against the two centre backs, he'll funnel out wide. He'll go drop a little bit deeper. He'll get on the ball and then he'll kind of work out what to do from there and bring others into the game if he has to. So much to like. I think he is one that you could definitely see getting some first team minutes next season. I think it would be almost a calamity if his development isn't fast tracked, because he just looks that good. And I think there's a bit of a vote in confidence on the AC Milan front as well. They just were able to sign him down to a new contract because there was talks that he could potentially be on the move. But I'm sure that the contract signing has come with some sort of guarantees that they're going to look to try and integrate him, possibly loan him, who knows. But I think he is ready to at least get some exposure to that level, because, yeah, I think we've seen now that players that completely dominate these tournaments can actually make that leap and contribute at a first team level. So I think you at least need to try it, because the earlier you can get him into this team, if you're a Milan fan, there's potential that he could be a real difference maker. He's just that good.
You know, speaking of players who dominate tournaments, the individual who yourself and Lou nominated for the scouted golden ball for this tournament was none other than Rodrigo Moura, who you touched on earlier, the Portuguese playmaker, number 10, goal scorer, finished the tournament with the most goals, with 5. Obviously wasn't able to do it to the same extent in the final, but throughout the entire tournament, he was very much the standout, consistently so. And you know, you guys have watched him for FC Porto in the youth league, and was one who you picked out before the tournament privately to say, look, he is the one to watch. You know, there was just such a silkiness to his game, lovely low center of gravity, carried the ball really well, his touches were really crisp, and you know, he was able to shift his body weight one way than the other, and just really fool defenders, which really helped Portugal, especially in transition. I think he's very much a deserving scouted golden ball winner for this competition. What did you make of Rodrigo Moura throughout this tournament?
Yeah, he touched on it. He was superb in the UEFA Youth League this season. And when I saw him in this Portugal squad, I was thinking he is one that could definitely light this tournament up. And he didn't let me down. I think, as I touched on before, this Portugal team had some talent, but a lot of rough edges. And I think there was one game in the semi-final against Serbia. I think it was semi-final, yeah. Mm-hmm. Where Portugal were down, they needed goals, and they kept facilitating chances and just completely botching everything. But all those times, Moura wasn't really there to finish. He wasn't there to lay the final touches on the moment. And then finally, when he had the ability to stamp himself in the game, he took his chance, and he was the one that was able to take the you know, take Portugal through to the final. So he was the one in the team with the composure to execute, whether it was creating with the final ball, whether it was finishing as a goal scorer. He was the one where he was the only one where you were confident that if this guy gets the ball, it's going to be a goal or it's going to be assist or it's going to be something good. But yeah, and then the other comparison I made, and I've touched on this on my tournament roundups and in the team of the tournament, was just comparing him to some of the Spanish players in this tournament. They played each other in the first game, and the Spanish players, technically excellent, look so clean on the ball, everything so nice, but they kind of just lack a bit of oomph, and Mora has all that oomph. When he gets the ball out on the run, he's got a little burst of pace, but he really drives the game forward. He's always looking forward. So whether that's with the Spanish players, more of a tactical thing, that's just the style they play and it's a bit slower. But Mora, the way that he was empowered to just get the ball and go and make things happen, allowed him to showcase the best of himself. And so everything he did was just pure damage. Whenever he got on the ball, something was happening. In transition, he just makes the right decisions, makes the right play. And yeah, Portugal's wingers were feasting basically because he was able to consistently get out on the break and find them loose on the wing and give them the opportunity to then drive towards the box. And Portugal were one of the more dangerous attacking teams in the tournament because of that.
Yeah, speaking of those wingers, Giovanni Quenda, who is with Sporting, Clube de Portugal, in Portugal, obviously, and Cardoso Varela, who was actually 15 and one of the few 15-year-olds at this tournament. They were especially influential. I watched the Portugal-England game in the groups, and Cardoso Varela got a hat-trick of assists from mostly similar positions, you know, coming down the left-hand side, getting right to the byline and cutting back into the centre of the penalty area. There was, I believe he scored with one of his first touches against Spain in that first game that Portugal had at the tournament as well. A really, really clean finish. And, you know, sometimes you can tell who the youngest players are at these tournaments because they're a little bit undersized. Yes, they might have very good technical ability, which is why they've been, you know, recruited to play up a few age groups. But with Varela in particular, he looked very much the part. And then Giovanni Quenda on the opposite flank on the right, he was you know, somebody who had a really nice mix of physicality, of straight line, you know, directness in terms of on attacking transitions, good ball carrying, would come inside as well. It wasn't as though he was somebody who would, you know, like Varela, seek to go get to the byline. He was very comfortable coming inside, playing the 1-2s, playing the wall passes with Rodrigo Mora. And yeah, I mean, I'd say in terms of spectacle, probably because they did have rough edges, which made their games a bit more open and entertaining. I think Portugal were one of the best teams to watch at the tournament. Obviously, you know, not in the final, they couldn't really lay a glove on Italy. But the Portuguese team, especially the attackers, obviously Mora, as you mentioned, and Quenda and Varela, they were three players who were really, really exciting to watch.
Yeah, I think the only tell on Varela was just he would float in games for large periods, but then when he hit really hard and did maximum damage. But there were just moments where he was a bit out of games. But he's got that kind of Martinelli. Touch on Martinelli again. He's got that wide attacker, get the ball and just run a direct straight line towards the goal, cut inside and either create or look to score himself. So I think there's a bit in what he's got, and he's got an electric turn of pace as well. So he could, I think, play now another two under 17 Euros. So he's got plenty more opportunities at this tournament. Quenda, I think for the whole tournament, he was kind of the all-round package. But then when he had to execute a final action, it just completely deserted him. So I'd be interested to watch a little bit more of him, see if that is a bit of a running trend or whether that was just a 5-6 game sample where he just couldn't quite get it together. Because, as you said, he looked really good. Getting on the ball a lot, always involved alongside Mora. But, yeah, when it came to those key moments inside the box, a few times where he had some easy like layoffs through the center of the box that he could have hit for tap-ins that he just missed. So it could have been a little bit different for him, but still a strong tournament. And I think there's a pretty good skill set there to build on.
Yeah, very, very good call. And as I was saying in the introduction, you know, entertaining tournament with lots of real potential. Because, you know, sometimes you can watch these competitions and you'll have, you know, maybe a couple of standouts who you think, yeah, they'll probably make it through to senior international level. But there are certainly a few in that the two teams that contested the final who you think, actually, you know what, they've got real good foundation there. Onto sort of the teams that didn't make it to the final, onto the sort of the honorable mentions section. And I think it would be remiss to not start with England's Mikey Moore, who also scored 4 goals at this tournament, was a real, real standout for England, after, or rather building on, a fantastic season with Spurs' under 21s, which culminated in a senior debut under Ange Postecoglou. Mikey Moore, besides having a fantastic name, also has just a fantastic ability to hold off opposition players who are much broader, much at least to look at, stronger. Got a great strike on him, and just has, I don't know, he has something of the sort of the Cole Palmers about him when it comes to end product.
Yeah, he is just all power. He was just blowing games up, carrying the ball all the way through midfield, just doing what he wanted. I think it was something that could definitely translate and go attempt to at least play a little bit of senior football next year. And it wouldn't surprise me knowing Ange's track record if he at least gives him an opportunity. Because, yeah, what he was doing, I only saw one game of him play against Italy, but I'd seen all of the stuff that people had been posting about him through the group stage on Twitter. And he was so good. He, as I said, he could just pick up the ball anywhere, go out on the run, and no one could tackle him. Just stick the arms out, get the head down, and just explode. And then when he gets towards the box, he can hit it too. So he's got the proper cut inside from anywhere, run a direct line, and it's outside the box shooting as well. He doesn't need to get inside. He can lace it from anywhere. So I didn't watch enough of him to get like a real broad overview, but from the glimpses I saw in that game, I was thinking that there is definitely something there.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of, I don't want to say hype, but there's certainly a lot of interest around him within Spurs circles because, you know, obviously the end to their season wasn't the best, to say the least. But, you know, having somebody like Mikey Moore, you know, they've got other good players. I mean, their under-21s were fantastic this year in PL2. Look, you know, Luke Donnelly, those types of, I think Will Lankshear as well, maybe. But yeah, Mikey Moore is certainly the standout and was the standout in this England team. And that's, you know, that's not to say that he was the only player that they had who was of considerable interest. I mean, you had Ethan Nwaneri, obviously of Arsenal. You know, you had a couple of good defenders as well. I did quite like the look of Christian McFarlane out wide. He plays for New York City. You know, Harry Amos, who's at Manchester United. And then, you know, someone like Chris Rigg, who's been playing regularly for Sunderland this season at the age of 16. So there were quite a few accomplished youngsters in this England squad, certainly for their age. But Mikey Moore was definitely the standout. And no, I agree. I think some senior minutes could be forthcoming this season for him, particularly given, you know, the European competition that Spurs are going to be in. And as you mentioned, you know, Ange's his track record for blooding youngsters in games like that. I mean, we'll move on to another of the teams that we watched quite a bit of, and it'll be no secret to anybody who's of an Arsenal persuasion why we might have watched a fair bit of Denmark at this under-17 Euros. Chido Obi, you know, he's been just popping them in left, right, and centre for Arsenal's under-18s and 21s this season. He's somebody who has gone viral a few times for his goals. And this tournament was probably the first real opportunity where you can watch him against peers and to assess really what he's got in his locker. What did you make of Chido Obi, Steve?
Yeah, I think if anyone wants a kind of baseline understanding of what he can do, there's a goal that he scored late in their quarterfinal. I think it was against the Czech Republic, if I remember correctly. And he gets the ball and Denmark had kind of been outplayed the whole game, but we're only 1-0 down. and he dribbles it through a few bodies, shoots it. It is a bit of a poor goalkeeping scenario, but the lead up with the way he's able at his size to maneuver the ball, open up a shooting opportunity for himself and equalize as soon as I saw that, I went, okay, this guy could be a big problem. And I think he falls into the similar category that Kamada falls into, in just in terms of what he can do athletically. Big tall guy, can move, can carry, can dribble. Maybe I need to see a little bit more to get a idea on the ball striking, but from his goal record at youth level with Arsenal, it wouldn't be a great shock to see that that's similarly excellent. So if the rumors are true that he is going to Bayern, because I've seen that pop up over the last few days on Twitter, that Bayern are hotly chasing his signature, that would be a massive loss, because I think you wait forever to get someone like this to pop up at academy level, especially a number nine. You know, if you can get a top level number nine, that can change your destiny as a club for a long, long time. So if they were to lose him and he does turn out to be that level, which if you had to project it now, you'd say there is potential for him to become that, then it is a massive loss. So, all I can say is he looks fantastic, but if Arsenal lose him, that is a disaster.
Yeah, they've got to do everything they can to keep a hold of him, because while there were, I can't remember, it was the Croatia game, I think Denmark played that I watched, and I will get onto Croatia in a little while because I've got some stuff to say about their defense. There were occasions where, you know, he was thwarted quite effectively, but at the same time, you could see in the glimpses of his ability on the ball, like what you said with that goal against the Czech Republic in the quarterfinal. You know, if you gave him that time and space, he kind of goes into automatic mode, and you knew what was going to come at the end of it. He was going to get it on target, and then after that, it's really up to the goalkeeper to sort out. But I think very much epitomizes the old adage, you know, great touch for a big guy, because his touch was so clean. So crisp, and really, really helped Denmark sort of sustain attacks, because they could fire the ball into him. And, you know, he'd either let it run, play on the shoulder, or with his back to goal, bring somebody else into play, maybe Hoyer or somebody who was playing a little bit deeper. He was very effective.
And then when you've got that as well, then you can turn that into shot creation for yourself.
Yes.
Which opens up a complete different dynamic for a striker once they have the quality on the ball to maneuver and open up opportunities to shoot for themselves, rather than having to worry and concentrate 100% on, okay, can I control the ball? Can I control the ball? Mm-hmm. When it just comes naturally to them, they bring it down and then can go either way, open opportunities up, open up angles. Then that's when they take the next step in terms of being dangerous in front of goal.
Yeah, when it just becomes second nature. You know, it was actually an interesting tournament in terms of strikers who were like Kamada, like Chido Obi, for example, because there was one for Austria as well. And I'm going to go with his abbreviated name because I don't want to butcher it. He's called Tajiri. He plays for FC Red Bull Salzburg. And while he maybe wasn't as effective as Obi, you could definitely see why Salzburg have got their claws in him already. Because he's very imposing, somebody who had a good strike on him, also scored, I think, 4 at this tournament as well. He was somebody who, when I watched Austria, you know, was very much a one of two standouts alongside the left back Oliver Sorg.
Yes, Tajiri Adejinagure, if I've got it correctly.
That's fantastic. That's a great effort.
Yeah, he's just pure Red Bull. Just get out the back on the run, off the last shoulder, and score goals. Doesn't necessarily have to be pretty, but it's very, very, very effective. And you could imagine that this guy scores. I haven't looked at his record, but I can imagine he scores a bucket load of goals at youth level with this style. And it's very effective at under 17 tournaments. And I've gone over this a million times, but I wrote a big piece about this kind of thing earlier in the year on the Substack. It's called Making the Leap, and it kind of just explains how much easier it is for strikers to receive in space in behind. And so for a striker like him, he was absolutely feasting on that type of ball. And it still can translate into senior football as well. We've seen the Red Bull Salzburg strikers spam this type of thing for years, get big moves, and then also be successful at other clubs. So it doesn't necessarily mean that that style means that they're going to be good at youth level and then flop at senior level, not necessarily. And he does seem to have that kind of outlier athleticism, speed, physicality that he could definitely make it work. So that's another Red Bull striker in the pipeline. I think there's about 8 million of them now. But yeah, if we're looking for one to burst onto the scene in maybe 2 to 3 years' time, then I would probably keep my eyes on Big Tajiri.
Yeah, and sticking with the theme of strikers, looking at the partner to Francesco Camarda in the scouted team of the tournament, you watched quite a bit of the Serbians at this competition, and Mihailo Fetković, I'm really slacking on my pronunciations here, Mihailo Fetković.
Svetković,
there we go, that's better. He was a very effective, again, another type of forward who you probably wouldn't want to go 1v1 with if you were a central defender.
Yeah, he looks like an absolute pain to play against. And our friend, Serbian football scout, has a comp with him to Luis Suarez in terms of just that bruising style, just super annoying, always putting his body into you, always backing you up, really aggressive. And yeah, he made it work. He was really effective for most of the tournament. I think his in possession stuff is a little clunky, can be a little bit loose at times, but he's just pure hunger and desire to get on it in the box and just attack the ball. There was one goal that he scored. I can't remember who it was against, but the defender was caught napping with a ball coming in for just a split second, and he was just onto it. No worries, gets a little toe on it and knocks it past the keeper. So he's a little like 1% of players that, you know, all those kind of things, you layer them on over the amount of actions you're involved with over the course of the game. And it can be the difference between not scoring or scoring one or two and having a really big impact. So I think there is a little bit, he's not the biggest guy, but he just plays with like just maximum physicality and always sticking his elbows out. Really good hold-up play. I think that was quite strong, even though when he actually received the ball, he was a little bit suspect. But as the tournament progressed, I think he got a little bit better at playing others into the game. He had a pretty good connection going with George Rankovic on the left wing that they started getting a fair bit of value out of as the tournament progressed. So, yeah, another one we touched on all throughout the tournament, that the number 9 class in this tournament looked fantastic. There's probably 5, 6, 7 names you could rattle off and suspect that they'll probably be pretty solid first teamers, or all the way up to being, you know, game breaking number 9s in the future. So it's a very exciting thing to see, because I think European football probably needs a bit better number 9 play all across the board.
Yeah, definitely. That's how I'd sum up this tournament, with being big for number 9s. I said I was going to touch on Croatia before we finished, and that was one of the teams that I watched a couple of their group games. And while they weren't the most entertaining side, they were really effective and very, very well drilled. They were maybe a little bit light up top. I wasn't overwhelmed by how good they were in attack, particularly in transition, which appeared to be the way that they wanted to set up. But in defence, they had Noah Mikic at right back, who was a standout for me in that Croatia team. He was very athletic, you know, never gave up. Very, very much hunger and desire, as you described, Hvetkovic. There was a goal he scored against Austria, I believe it was, or was it Denmark? It was one of those two teams. I cannot remember, but he sort of picks it up. Or rather robs the opponent of possession in his own half, and then basically makes one of those out-to-in runs just diagonally from the touchline to the edge of the penalty area, and hits one into the bottom corner, really clean strike. And he had a really good battle with Oliver Sorg, the Austria left-back, during their 0-0 draw in the opener, because both of them weren't willing to give each other an inch. And again, that was something which I thought, okay, good athletic potential. And then because of how Croatia set up, they restricted the space that the opposing teams could have in the final third. And Mikic was very good at, you know, obviously stretching the pitch when Croatia were attacking, but then becoming very narrow and organized and well drilled. And he did very well alongside Lubo Puljic, who is, he's currently on the books of Bayern Munich, has already trained with the first team there. And he was part of the reason which Chido Obi didn't get a goal against Croatia in that Denmark game, because he was, Puljic was on his every touch. He was very strong defensive fundamentals. Couldn't really say too much about his sort of progressive play, because that wasn't how Croatia set up in this tournament. They were very much under the cosh a lot of the time. But in terms of organizational skills, you'd probably say his leadership as well, because he was the captain at the back. He was another who really stood out for me.
I think if outside of strikers, I think centre backs is the other really interesting position from this tournament. And I think with what we're seeing at senior level, we're seeing more and more of these 17, 18, 19 year old centre backs come in and be really, really strong at senior level. Like Lenny Yoro, we've seen Dean Huijsen, we've seen Pau Kubasi, these guys coming in their teenage years, when normally centre backs, you don't expect them to develop until much later. But now, with the more expansive passing game that a lot of teams want to play out of the back, they're looking for these young technical defenders to come in early and break into the first team. So I think there is a bit of a watch on some of these guys. I touched on Natali before for Italy. He is kind of in that Lenny Yoro mold of they're not necessarily have to be, straight away the most physical players. But if they are tall generally and can play a bit with the ball, then there is potential. And then also, be mobile, be able to hold up in duels decently. All the, you need a borderline technical level, defensive level, sorry, to fit in. But if you can offer something game-breaking in terms of your ability to retain and distribute the ball, then there is opportunities for these guys to break in, especially in the good teams that don't need to defend as much and are looking for that ball-playing centre-back. Then there's heaps of opportunities for these guys to get in and play early. So that's a big watch for me. I think that Natali deal to Leverkusen is a super interesting one, just in that sense, because who knows if that team gets broken up in any way, shape or form and whether there is minutes for someone like him, possibly sooner than anyone could expect. But that profile is, again, I think really something that the top teams are looking for, that tall, mobile, ball-retaining, ball-playing centre-back. And even if they're not the biggest or the strongest in duels at this point, these teams will be guessing that, in 3-4 years' time, that they'll build that up and then, they'll be the full, complete package.
Absolutely. That kind of brings us to the end of this week's episode on the under-17 Euros in Cyprus this year. A great tournament. I think I speak for all of us at Scouted in saying that, it's definitely one which we'll see a lot of cut through in terms of the players that have featured here and will ultimately go on to play senior football at a very good level. I'm sure that any scouts listening to this who were also watching the under-17 Euros this year, you'll probably have heard a couple of names who you may have recommended over this the past few weeks. But the under-17 Euros, if you want to read a little bit more, or in fact, if you want to read in-depth appraisals of some of the games, of who the standout players were, lots and lots that we covered who haven't been mentioned on this episode, as well as the Scouted team of the tournament, then do subscribe to the Scouted Notebook. It is the place for, up and coming talent, and the best place that you can find in the English language resource. So, thank you very much for listening, Steve. Do you have any final parting words for the listeners?
Yes, stay engaged. We are planning some streams to do post Euro match days. So we are organizing that currently with some very special guest that we're hoping to lock in to join us on some of those streams. We'll be covering all the games or as many games as we possibly can. We might not do every match day, but we'll be doing a fair few during the group stage and beyond. And then also, if you enjoyed the coverage of this tournament, Under 19 Euros kicks off straight after the Senior Euros finishes, I believe. And we'll come back and we'll do the same thing all over again, covering that tournament, which is a bit of a shorter one. We always like the Under 19 Euros. It's short and sweet, over in a couple of weeks. But we'll be back then and we'll be doing all the same thing. And Italy are defending the title in that one. So let's see if we can go back-to-back-to-back European Youth Championships, at least, because I don't think the seniors are going to be defending their championship. So we'll see how that one goes. But that's all for me.
Put them down as your dark horse for the Senior Euros. Who knows?
Scamacca hat-trick in the final. Lock it in.
Right. Excellent stuff. Thank you very much for joining me, Steve. And thank you for joining me on the Scouted podcast. We'll be back, as Steve said, over the next month with plenty of content during the summer of Scouted. Bye for now. The Scouted podcast is brought to you with the support of our friends at Skill Corner, whose tracking data and performance analytics are used by many of the top clubs, leagues, and federations around the world. Covering a wide range of global competitions, Skill Corner's data helps customers to make faster, better informed decisions in recruitment, player development, and strategy. And we are now using it to support our own analysis of up-and-coming talent. For more information, visit skillcorner.com.